It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo is right. It is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I need to give a special message out to one of our listeners, Joe. Joe, you had reached out to me and had wanted the link to the publication that Dr. Jill had referenced. This was probably about 10 days ago regarding COVID-19 patients and cross-reactivity. It was very scientific. And I got that link, and now I can't find how to get that to you. So if you are listening, would you email me at kim@kimmunson.com so that I can button that up? And then note to myself, I'm going to make sure that I write that down on my to-do list with the contact information as well. So, Joe, I'd appreciate it if you would reach out to me. I'm so thrilled to have in studio with me today one of our partners, and that is Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool. Great to have you here, Hal.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be here on this not yet bright and sunny morning.
You're going to get to see the sunrise.
I'm going to see the sunrise right out that window.
That's for sure. We're going to be talking about small business. Small business is the engine of America.
Right.
And it is being attacked in many different ways, assaulted through public policy. And so we'll talk about that. Also, I want to find out, you and I talked after the show, the last time you were in, about how you got into the knife business. And it's a fascinating story. And people, I think, will be inspired. And we'll talk about that as well.
That sounds good.
It's great to have you here. First segment, we'll talk with Patty Kergan. She is keeping us updated on a daily basis on these battleground states regarding the presidential election. The second segment, a friend of mine, Paula Sarles, she's a Marine Vietnam veteran, a Gold Star wife, and she is working with others, obviously, but to remodel the Marine Memorial that's right here in Golden. And really important that we remember our military. So that'll be great to chat with her. And then, of course, we'll be talking with with Hal in segments 3 and 4. And then Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And he is with Presidential Wealth Management. We talk about these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. We need to remember that. Hal, because you're in studio, I was thinking entrepreneurs, creativity, who could our quote be for today? And I thought, searching for it, Walt Disney. And Walt Disney was born in 1901 in Chicago. He died in 1966. He was an American motion picture and television producer and showman. He was famous as a pioneer of animated cartoon films as the creator of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. He planned and built Disneyland, a huge amusement park that opened near L.A. in 1955. And before his death, he had begun to build the second one, a Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. The Disney Company he founded has become one of the world's largest entertainment conglomerates. And he said this, all of our dreams can come, all of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them.
Yeah, it's a great quote. He's a favorite of our family. My kids love him, and they've read his biographies about him. Every time we go to Disney, they want to go see the old classic movie reels of how the park got started and everything. So both my daughters love Walt Disney, and they love the fact that he created so much. So part of the fact about being in small business is the act of creation. Mm-hmm. It's the creativity aspect, and It's generating opportunity, generating jobs, generating unique products and services, bringing innovation into the marketplace like he did, and that happens in small business. And even as little kids going through the park, my kids were fascinated about that aspect of what he brought all of this to life. It wasn't just that he took it over as the next CEO of the corporation. This all came from his brain, and it was fascinating. fascinating guy.
And speaking of that, for next week, we've got some great shows planned for you. And on Tuesday, we'll be talking with Dr. Alan Gelzo. He is a professor at Princeton, and he's done some different courses for the great courses. But we're going to be talking about the American mind, which is exactly what you're talking about, Hal Van Herky. And speaking of the American mind, somebody that has a great love of our country, and that is our researcher, Patty Kurgan. She is also contributing author, which again is Creativity and Innovation, of Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn, and A Warning to America. Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Hal.
Okay, you've been keeping, just watching what's happening with all of these battleground states regarding the presidential election. And after we talked to Rob Nadelson on Monday morning, he said that it was over. But then as you were looking at additional research, it may not be. And so you're keeping us apprised of what is happening. What's the new developments from yesterday, Patty?
Well, as you state, we are in uncharted territory, and we're just going day by day. And from what I'm reading, we're now looking at January 6th. Some people are even skipping over that and looking at January 20th. There are still some options open that may change who is the president-elect and who will eventually become president. That's still yet to be seen. And as I keep saying every time we're on, the fact of the matter is we're looking for the truth. This is about the integrity of the office and the integrity of our elections, and it's not about either Donald Trump or Joe Biden. On that note, in Arizona yesterday, they did officially give out subpoenas to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. They have a due date of 5 p.m. on Friday, December 18th. One subpoena calls for a scanned ballot audit to collect an electronic ballot image cast for all mail-in ballots counted in the November 2020 general election in Maricopa County. The second subpoena calls for a full forensic audit of ballot tabulation equipment, the software for that equipment, and the election management system used in 2020 election. Skipping over to the state of Pennsylvania, a group of Republicans in Pennsylvania on Tuesday urged the U.S. Supreme Court to take up their lawsuit that challenges the 2020 election results in the state. This is another request. The nation's top court, this is as reported by the Epoch Times, the nation's top court had previously rejected the group's request for immediate injunctive relief to block Pennsylvania from taking further steps to certify the 2020 election results. At the time, the group's lawyer said the case was not over because his clients were planning to file a formal petition to ask the court to review the lawsuit, which they hadn't filed the first time. The case at hand, it's cited as Kelly versus Pennsylvania, argues that Act 77, which is particular for Pennsylvania, a law that made voting by mail without an excuse legal in Pennsylvania. And this was enacted in violation of Pennsylvania's constitution. The state constitution, the plaintiffs argue, prohibits absentee voting in Pennsylvania except for four limited circumstances.
And, Patty, just refresh our listeners that change in the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania was done, I mean, close to the election. Wasn't it like October? Or it was in the autumn, wasn't it?
Well, some of the changes were. This one actually is a law that they had put in place just a little bit over a year before. I shouldn't say that for sure because there's so many different variations on this, Kim.
Okay.
I'm not going to comment, okay?
Sounds good. Because we always want to get it right, so I appreciate it, Patty. Thank you.
Exactly. I can refresh in my memory, but I would rather make sure that I'm – because, again, there's been so many different states that we've been talking about, and many of them did make specific laws just for coronavirus. And that's what has really been the floodgates for a lot of the fraud that's now coming up.
Okay.
I just wanted to quickly go over adjudication. We did touch on it yesterday, and I want the listeners to know exactly what it is. And the Epoch Times did a great little piece. And the adjudication feature of the Dominion voting systems, which allows operators of the software to change votes on a ballot, has been cast into the spotlight after an audit of the system in one county revealed a particularly high tabulation error rate. indicating that the system may have been sending large numbers of ballots for adjudication. Some states allow election officials under bipartisan support or supervision to try to determine who a voter intended to vote for on an incorrectly filled out ballot instead of tossing the ballot. The Dominion software has a function that flags ballots for adjudication based on defects such as improperly filled bubbles on the ballot or overvotes when a voter votes for more candidates than allowed. The software, however, also allows for all ballots to be sent for adjudication. So they found in Michigan's Antrim County that it was extremely high, and the tabulation log showed an error rate of nearly 70%.
Wow.
In Fulton County, Georgia, which includes Atlanta, 113,130 absentee ballots were scanned, and more than 106,000 were adjudicated by November 4th. And that was stated by the county's director of elections. The county spokeswoman, Jessica Corbett, did not respond to an inquiry about how many individual ballots were adjudicated to the county. The question being is that they were put in groups of ballots, so no one will tell them how many ballots were in each group. So that it might not be that high, but the information is not being transparent, because it's not being given. Again, in Georgia,
if you have nothing to hide, why are you hiding it? That's just my editorial comment on that.
Well, that's the whole thing here. Epoch Times is one of the very few news agency right now that is trying and working extremely hard to get to the truth. They're not playing favorites. They're just looking at the truth and the data. And it's interesting because in Michigan they did have yesterday the CEO of Dominion's come forth in a hearing. And he, of course, I mean, no surprise to anybody, he said that there's no credible evidence of voter fraud and that the Dominion systems did no switching of votes. And then later on, though, he really didn't look at the report that was put out by Allied Security Operations Group. So he didn't look at all these things that were uncovered in the forensic study and investigation that was done by this group. And it's like nobody wants to know the truth.
But the mass media went with that, Patty. They said, Dominion CEO says that there was no fraud, so there's no fraud.
Exactly. It's like the Hunter Biden story. No one carried it before the election, and now it's not out there in your face all the time, but mainstream media has picked it up.
Well, and as Cheryl Atkinson said on Monday, Patty, you have to ask when you're looking at these stories, who benefits and why would they be doing this? Now, as they're starting to bring forth the Hunter Biden story, who benefits and why would they do that? Patty, what's your final thought on this? These reports are so good. Thank you so much. What's your final thought?
I encourage listeners to look for the truth. Look at Epoch Times. I strongly encourage people to go look at that Allied Security Operations Group report. Read it for yourself. You're not filtering through somebody who's writing an article. You can read it yourself and come to your own conclusions. And I think that that's really what we need to do, is go to the original information and not have it filtered through by multiple sources.
Well, and that's what we do, going back to our voter's guide, Patty, is we go to the actual ballot questions and the legislation that backs that up, and we read that, and we as Americans need to get to that point instead of being fed something. Patty, you do a fantastic job on this research as you are searching for truth. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you. I think we're full tomorrow, so hopefully on Friday we'll have another update.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Hal Van Herke with Castlegate Knife and Tool. What's your thoughts on what Patty just said?
Yeah, people would probably wonder why a guy that sells knives for livings would have a thought on an IT system, but I did spend 20 years as an executive at IBM.
Okay.
And so if we learn nothing else from what we're going through right now, and if all of the efforts to, you know, uncover the fraud and to all the legal efforts fail, the one thing we absolutely have to take away from this is that the Dominion voting system was built for fraud. And it was built with fraud in mind. And you don't have to go any further than to look at the actual user's manual on how you operate the system or look at the architecture of how it's built. There was a guy on the Glenn Beck show who did that. Glenn Beck asked him to come in as an expert in software security and make an opinion on Dominion. The first thing he did was downloaded their user's manual. And it's the only software system I've ever heard of that has built-in ways to, at every step of the process, to manually go in and make changes to the results, alter the results, mess with the results statistically or directly, swap one file for another, go in and eliminate audit trails, which, you know, the whole point of having a systems audit trail is that it can't be eliminated. So rather than taking all the steps you would normally take as just a common sense enterprise architected system for the security and integrity of the system, the process and the data, not only did they not take those steps, but they built in steps specifically around their processes so that they could be manually manipulated at each step. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it was, like I said, built for fraud in and of itself. But when you look at the history of the voting systems and you look at how they're being used, I think that's very clearly the case. And I think what we have here is that people with fraudulent intent within each one of these local jurisdictions that are responsible for counting the votes, whether it's a county, whether it's a large metropolitan area in Pennsylvania or in Georgia or, wherever, I think they've all found their own individual ways if they feel like manipulating this thing that they can manipulate it. And I don't think it has to be a set of instructions sent out from the mothership at Dominion. I mean, they've done their job. They put a system out there that on the surface looks like it's doing the job of making sure that the election is safe, but in reality, it's only as good as the people who are operating those individual departments because they have a wealth of ways to change this system without any documentation.
So people that have that intent have that opportunity. The fact that Dominion was used throughout the country in so many different jurisdictions is questionable. I think, Hal, we would never have really known this. People say Donald Trump has brought clarity to so many things, to education, to big education, to big tech, to big business, to now to this voter fraud. The American people stepped up and they showed up on Election Day. And it would not have been, except for that vote dump in the middle of the night in these battleground states, we would never have known this. And this is huge. Think about all of the narrative of the popular vote, that Joe Biden's going to get the popular vote. Well, if they thought they were going to be cheating,
they would know.
Know.
So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to find this giant smoking gun of this, all these threads and point back to this grand conspiracy. I think what you're going to find is a company that had a reason to, do this. And it could be, I'm sure that part of these functions are built in because the counties want to have some flexibility to make sure that their manual procedures can override, some things if the system was wrong. And Dominion does say that the whole integrity of the vote relies on the manual processes around that system and that those checks and balances need to be processed and function. You could argue that that's why they found this system attractive, because it gave them the flexibility to run their operation without having to change to do it the way the system wanted to. But, really, I think it's important for us to keep an eye on it. And we're not going to find some magic conspiracy theory. What you're going to find is a system that was fraught with insecurity and built-in problems and was used as a feature, and that other people very quickly realized how it could be manipulated, and that it's been being manipulated on a grand scale for quite some time.
Hal Van Herky, that is absolutely fascinating. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Paula Sarles and then Jason McBride, and then continue our conversation with Hal Van Herky in segments 3 and 4. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Better watch out. You better not cry.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, all of our podcasts, our most recent podcasts, and our most recent op-eds. And you can find those all on the website. And go over to Facebook and give us a like right now. We're trying to figure out all this different social media stuff, but we'd appreciate it if you would do that as well. I am honored to have in studio with me Paula Sarles. She is a Marine veteran and a Gold Star wife, and she's doing something very important that we wanted you to learn about. But Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be back again.
And you're a Marine.
Yes,
and
I am.
We actually met. There is a group of Marines that meets, well, when we can meet,
right,
up in North Denver, Cooper's Troopers, which is a group of Marines. And it's a very impressive group, and I think that's how you and I got connected.
Yes, it is.
And when did you serve?
I served from 67 to 71, and I was an air controller.
And your story is remarkable. We've actually done an interview on that, and people can go back. Well, we'll try to put the link in this particular recap for this so that people can go back and hear that as well. But you're also a Gold Star wife. Tell
yes.
our listeners what that means exactly.
Well, Gold Star wives and families are the survivors of military who died in service or as a result of service injuries. And my husband died from Agent Orange cancer in 2009.
And he was a Vietnam veteran as
yes,
well, correct?
Yes, he had two tours in Vietnam. And his brother had half a tour there. He went and invoked the Sullivan Act to get him out. And they both died in 2009 from Agent Orange.
Okay. And the Sullivan Act was an act that was put into place after World War II. I can't remember which. It was one of the big naval battles in the Pacific where there were five brothers, the Sullivan brothers, who were all on the same ship, and they all perished
right.
in that battle. And at that point in time, the U.S. government said, we're not going to let siblings serve right together correct?
Right.
Yeah, I can't even.
They can now since they volunteer, but when they were being drafted, they couldn't.
Okay, okay. Well, you are doing something very important.
It's
Tell
exciting.
Us what you have taken on.
Okay. Well, for years we have had the Marine Corps Memorial in Golden, Colorado, and it's the only United States Marine Corps Memorial dedicated by Commandant of the Marine Corps west of the Mississippi. And it's the largest of any Marine Corps Memorial west of the Mississippi. There are other, like, Marine memorials and stuff, but they're not titled United States Marine Corps Memorial. And so it's had a nice history, and there have been some very distinguished visitors there. And in 2014, leadership Jefferson County came to us and said, nobody knows that memorial's there. You drive by it, you don't see it. It doesn't look like it's in very good shape. And so they helped us spruce up the grounds and make some improvements. But they also connected us with an architect and the idea of doing a complete remodel of the property. And so we started on that journey, and we just launched a big fundraising campaign to raise money using bricks on the five walkways where we'll have bricks. Mm-hmm. And if you're a veteran, there's a walkway for any veteran to buy a brick or active duty, and there are four walkways that are dedicated just to Marines.
Will these bricks, can people have their names put on it? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's on the 4x8 bricks, there's three lines, 20 letters each. And then on the 8x8s, there's six lines with 20 letters each.
Okay. And how can people purchase these?
They go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org, or you can Google Marine Memorial Gold in Colorado. And
that'll come up as well. How much are you trying to raise?
Well, we need to raise at least $3.5 million to build
the
memorial.
That's a lot of bricks.
Yes, it's a lot. But there's 60,000 bricks there. And they range from $125 to $400.
Okay. So it's affordable.
It's affordable. And it's a really nice way to honor a veteran, a Marine, and tell their stories. And each pathway will tell a story. So, like, there's one pathway that's a walk home, and we hope people will put a comment about their walk home.
Nice.
And something that was memorable to them. And then there's a path to service, because one of the most common questions Marines get asked is, why did you want to be a Marine? And so we thought that was an important story to tell. And the main walkway with the most bricks is to tell that story.
Paula, you have a relationship with so many of these other Marines. And in fact, Cooper's Troopers, I've had the great honor to interview six Iwo Jima World War II survivors. And one of those, well, probably all of them, but one of those guys is a really good friend of yours, and that is Jim Blaine.
Yes.
And we are excited that you and I together will be doing an interview for my America's Veterans Stories, which I'm bringing over to KLZ 560 AM and 100 and KLZ 100.7 FM. Our inaugural show, which you are going to be the guest, you and Jim, will be on Sunday, January 3rd, and it will air from 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm so excited that you are going to be our guest on that.
And Jim is a great guy. He's one of our honorary board members on the foundation for the memorial. And he and I had traveled to New Orleans last fall to promote the memorial to a group there. And we've just had some wonderful adventures. His wife and my husband and he and I did a lot of things together in the past. And they've both our spouses have passed, and we've just been good friends for a long time.
Well, I've had the great honor to interview Jim Blaine before, and I remember I asked him, I said, why did you decide to become a Marine? And he said, I liked the motto, first to fight.
Yeah.
We've got just a few minutes left. What are some of the other things that you want people to know about this Marine Memorial that you're working on to refurbish, to redo up here in Golden, Colorado? And where is it exactly?
It's at the intersection of US 6 and Colfax Avenue in Golden, near the Jefferson County Courthouse.
Okay.
There's a triangular piece of property at that intersection. There's a Home Depot across the way. And it's what I want you to know about it. There's so much. The new remodel description is on the webpage, but the idea is to tell history and tell stories about the people that are Marines and why they were there, and also tell stories of, like, the CBs and chaplains that work with Marines.
And what was a CB exactly?
They're Navy, and they do construction-type things. To help. And
in the Pacific, it was a lot of airstrips, roads, things like that.
Right. And so we've always, they help us and stuff. And, like, chaplains serve right along with the Marines. The corpsmen, of course, are Marines, and they earn an Eagle Globe and Anchor, and they serve with the Marines. And we consider them as Marines, and they're one of our cherished supporters. So we've just done a lot of things with them. And
so selling these bricks, Paula Sarles, it's not just going to be at Christmas time here. If you have 60,000 bricks, there's a lot of work to do. But I know some of the people in my life that are veterans, it's hard to shop for them.
Yes.
And so will it have to be just Marines in this memorial, or could it be from other branches of service?
No, it could be other branches. The Walk of Service is a walkway that we decided to dedicate to the other branches that serve, because Marines don't do it alone. Nobody, no service does it alone. Right. We all work together. So we thought it would be good to honor them and offer an opportunity for them to be part of the memorial.
Well, I'm just thinking about my father. He is a veteran, Air Force, but I never know what to get him.
Yeah.
That seems like that could be a really nice
and
gift.
And it's something that'll be there for a long time. And we also will have an opportunity to sponsor like a flagpole if you want to spend some more money, or a bench, things like that.
And so
those will be coming in the future with prices up on the website and stuff. But if you're interested in that, give me a call and we can check it
and
out.
And that information will be on the website as well, how they can get. And again, that is usmcmemorialfoundation.org, correct? usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Paula Sarles, thank you for all that you do.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. You do a lot of good things, too.
Okay. And be sure and tune in when we have the inaugural show for America's Veteran Stories. That'll be on January 3rd, 3 to 4 p.m. That's the Sunday afternoon on KLZ 560 and then KLZ 100.7 FM. And Jason McBride, I know with Presidential Wealth Management, I know that you have a real heart for our veterans.
Oh, absolutely. Without our veterans and our active service members, we certainly would not have the freedoms that we still have, which do seem to be slowly going away, but we still do have them.
Well, we do stand on the shoulders of giants, and we need to engage in this battle of ideas that is raging right now so that we can preserve these freedoms. That's why we do this show. You are a valued sponsor, Jason McBride. We've been talking about Roth accounts, Roth IRAs, and you said that you had talked to one of your clients that realizes the value of that.
Well, you know, they did. It's a kind of a timely example. This is a client. He's single, retired. He gets about $23,000 a year from Social Security and $22,000 a year from a pension, and he's very happy with that amount of income. But he has some money in an IRA and wanted to take a chunk out to do a real estate deal with one of his sons, and he wanted about $43,000 taken out, Kim, and had no idea how much the taxes would be to do that. So, for example, without taking the $43,000 out of the IRA, when he just gets his Social Security for $23,000 and the pension for $22,000, yeah, that's $45,000 worth of income. His federal taxes are about $1,270. He pays nothing in Colorado state taxes, but simply taking that $43,000 out of the IRA would explode his federal tax to over $13,000, would explode his Colorado tax to over $2,000. So here's a guy to get $43,000 out of an IRA is going to pay well over $12,000 worth of taxes. That's a 28% tax rate to get the money out. Now, if this was a Roth IRA, and he had paid a little bit of tax as he went along converting or didn't get a little tax break as he went along contributing, he'd be able to take that $43,000 out, and there would be absolutely no effect whatsoever on his tax rate at all.
Okay, that seems like that makes a lot of sense. I cannot believe we're at December 16th, Jason McBride. But while we know what the tax rate is for 2020, we don't know for sure what's going to happen after that, so it would make some sense to explore this possibility with you, Jason McBride. How can people reach you?
Easiest way is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. We are open for business and happy to meet with you, talk on the phone, whichever way works best for you.
Jason McBride, thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
And we're going to go to break. Hal Van Herke, who is a sponsor of the show, he is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, is in studio. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, and then Hal Herke.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Okay, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and Lauren Levy is on the line with me, Polygon Financial Group. He's a specialist in mortgage financing. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
And opportunity is knocking on the door right now in the mortgage market. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, and so I know there's great opportunity right now, Lauren Levy.
There is, and you know, you've asked me over the last several weeks, Kim, of where rates are at, and today I can say that for once in a little while, the rates have ticked even lower than they have been. I don't even know what the cause is, to be honest. But, you know, we're looking now at, you know, well below the three mark, you know, in the 2.75 range on 30-year fixed rate loans. And so things are even better. So the opportunity is even better than it has been.
Okay. And how can people, what's the time frame on this, Lauren? If people wanted to explore this possibility, there is really no harm, no foul, because if they have to get an appraisal, for Kim Munson show listeners, you pay for that appraisal. So no harm, no foul. They can explore this, correct?
That's right. And, you know, we're approaching the holidays, you know, the Christmas time and stuff. So appraisals can be a little bit slower, but they're still going pretty well. These loans are getting done, you know, 30 to 45 days. And like you say, there's no harm in at least inquiring and see if there's an opportunity there.
Okay. And during this 30 to 45 day process, can people lock in this low rate?
Absolutely. We would lock it in first before right when we got started so that they're safe and protected.
Okay. As they go through the process. Lauren Levy, I so appreciate your partnership with the Kim Munson Show. And I wish you and your family just a really happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Just all these great things. And I so appreciate you. You are a valued partner of the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, too, as well, Kim, and same to you. Thank you.
And people, you can reach you at 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. And, Lauren, when opportunity knocks, answer the door, right?
I agree 100%. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day. And Hal Van Herkey, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. First of all, I had forgotten that you were a IBM executive for over 20 years. Yeah. But another thing I didn't know about you as we were listening to Paula is that you are a veteran. I knew that, but I didn't know Special Forces Army.
Yeah, Army Special Forces. I went in through the Guard, National Guard, Colorado National Guard, and they offered an opportunity to go straight through a path through selection. So I went through basic and infantry school, medical school, airborne school, and had an opportunity to go straight through Army Special Forces selection pipeline. And then into the 19th Special Forces Group here in Colorado. And then eventually I transferred to the Air National Guard as a security specialist and then worked in intelligence.
Yeah. Wow.
So we were talking Marines earlier in the show. Uh-huh. I didn't hit the Marine Corps, but I was thinking if I did go back in, I was going to try to be Marine Aviation on a carrier. That way I could hit all the branches.
All the branches. Yeah. Oh, well, and another fascinating story, which we were talking about after you were in studio last time, was how you got into the knife business. Share that with our listeners. And we're talking about earlier entrepreneurship and creativity. And I think this is such an amazing story.
Yeah, I think that not everything happens as you plan in life. And sometimes you just end up, you know, you can look back and piece together a path, but you didn't realize you were on a path at the time. But I think I've always had a little bit of an interest in knives. And I think it goes all the way back to when, probably when I was a younger boy and my dad took me to buy my first Cub Scout knife.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell looking back that that was probably the result of a conversation between my mom and my dad. My mom was probably advocating that I was too young to have a knife.
I'm sure.
And my dad was probably saying he can have a knife.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably why. But it was one of the first times my dad ever took me shopping. But that's why I remember it. And it was like, this is unusual. But it's kind of ironic because my mom was our scoutmaster at the time. But I don't think she wanted all of us having knives. But so my dad took me out.
A bunch of little boys with knives.
Yeah, well, but that's what happened. So all the dads went out and bought us knives, and it was good. My, you know, then my dad teaches me how to use it and how to be safe and what not to do. And later on, you know, taught me how to sharpen knives and things like that. So, I think I had that connection. And then just I think that being interested in knives is a very common thing for teenage guys, judging by how often that's a huge volume of who comes into our store and looks at our booth when we're out at shows and things like that. So I think that's pretty common. But then as, you know, just kind of set that on the back burner. But then as I was, we mentioned earlier that I did work for a large corporation and I was running a big chunk of their operations in Japan for several years. And I just happened to run into a guy named Paul Martin at a bar. And he was one of the few people that spoke English in at the bar, the only person other than me. So we started talking and it turned out he was the head of the British Royal Museum's Japanese Antiquities Division. And is the world's foremost non-Japanese expert in of samurai swords. Huh. And in fact, now Paul is the international ambassador for the nation of Japan for the art of the samurai sword. He works for the government. But he kind of introduced me to samurai swords, and I started meeting with dealers and collecting very old, authenticated swords mm-hmm. that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. Predate our history as a country. And
that's amazing to think about that, yeah, too, something yeah. that old.
Yeah, it's an older culture there, and they also have just a slight, I mean, we tend to preserve our antiques in a way that make them look old. They preserve their antiques by maintaining them and resurfacing them and keeping them looking new. So swords that old are in perfectly new condition, and the blades are. For example, and they become extremely valuable, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for certain blades and stuff. So mm-hmm. And that kind of led me to meeting a gentleman by the name of Koji Hara, who's one of the most famous knife makers in Japan. And he had us down to his house, which is very unusual in Japanese culture, in Seki City, Japan, and showed us his shop and showed us how he does everything by hand, the same way that it's been done forever. And we became good friends. And then as we moved back here to the U.S., as my assignment there was over, Mr. Hara, Koji Hara, introduced me to all of the top makers in the U.S. and around the world and really gave us an opportunity. I decided there wasn't a huge market for swords in the U.S., but there's a very large market for knives and just basic knives all the way up through collector's knives. And we were able to meet these top makers and get dealerships for some of these brands haven't added new dealers in decades because they're so booked up with business. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get additional dealerships and distributorships because of through these relationships. And so it all is just kind of this winding path that, I didn't necessarily set out on purpose, but that's how I got where I am. And so now we have hundreds of the top brands, and a lot of them that we're the only one that can get anywhere in the Western United States. We have relationships around the world with people. We have 3,500 different knives in the store from $20 to $3,400, et cetera. So that's kind of where we ended up. So that's how we got into the knife business. And so it's nice because we're doing stuff that we enjoy.
And it is a family-owned business, and yes. The family does take, and it's not a 40-hour-a-week kind of business. That's what's so funny about family-owned businesses is people work really, really hard.
We were having a business meeting with my wife and my daughter at like 10:30 last night.
and here you are in the studio.
Just quick little checkpoint on, and then my wife and I go through and look at any orders and shipments off the website or anything, any customer service complaints for any reason if they had to have something serviced or sharpened or... wondering where their package is because the post is delayed, these mm-hmm. days, that we have resolved those before we go to bed every night. I mean, that we literally, our last meeting is customer service, are all the customer service issues resolved? That's literally what we talk about before we go to bed. And so and now it's gone down to our daughters and everything else on their little parts of the business. So
I love it. But small business works so hard. We're going to talk about small business in this next segment. But Castlegate Knife and Tools is located in Sedalia. I love Sedalia. It's such a taste of Americana. And you are located in the old bank building there.
Yep.
And I'd recommend people this weekend go out and do some shopping. But you also just updated your website and you have everything there as well if people need need to do that their shopping that way.
Yeah, so you can either reach us at castlegate.com, and we have our entire inventory online there, or you can reach us in downtown Sedalia, like you said, in the old bank building, the Territorial Bank building. It's 101 years old. Doesn't look like much. It was the U.S. Post Office for Sedalia for many years as well, but...
But when you go inside, and then one other thing, you
when you go inside, it looks different.
It's major cool, yeah. And you also have watches.
Yes, we do. And in fact, thank you for reminding me about that. We do have, like right now in the store today, we have three different brands made in the U.S. One is Minuteman watches, another is Mitchell timepieces, and the one we just added is a very nice watch brand called R Page Watches. It's actually out of Hawaii that takes and refurbishes vintage American pocket watches and turns them into wrist watches. And they're gorgeous Art Deco themed artwork. Each one is
price
unique. The Minuteman started as anywhere from 150 and go up, and the Art Pages started anywhere from 2500 up to 3500. So we're between 150 and 3500. We try to give people a range of something. If you want an American made watch, you know, to fit your budget, whatever that budget is, we try to
get it. You've got it. Okay. Yeah. And that's castlegate.com. Oh, Steve, you
Can
have
I
a comment?
Say, ever since you brought this up that he's now, or Hal, you're now doing watches, I bought earlier this year a watch on the internet, and I am severely disappointed. So ever since she brought this up, it's like, I need to get down to Hal's and see what he's got.
You
so,
do. You most testimony. Definitely do that. So we're going to go to Rake. Before we do that, though, our small businesses, they are so important, creativity, innovation, and one of those small businesses is Hooters Restaurants, located right here in Colorado. They have five locations here in Colorado, and that is Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Support our small businesses. Right now, they have all kinds of to-go specials. That's a place that you can go to support Hooters Restaurants and get some of their great wings. They are so delicious. And so this holiday season, you won't have to cook. Just go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's Hooters Colorado. I can't say it today. HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Hal Van Herke.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Merry Christmas. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. In studio with me is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, a partner of the Kim Munson Show. Fascinating story in this last segment about how you got into that business. I think it's when people go and get a gift there, it won't just be this lovely gift, it'll be the whole story that people
kind of
can share.
Divine guidance.
Divine guidance.
leading me through that unreal path of how we got where we are. Yeah,
life is a pretty amazing thing. Small business. It's breaking my heart what I'm seeing happening with our small business. And I know that you have a real heart for that. Right. What's your thoughts on this, Hal?
I think that everybody needs to be aware that as we continue to go through these next round of lockdowns and current round of lockdowns, that the sense I'm getting from small business owners, especially this time around restaurant owners, is that this is the straw that broke the camel's back. This is the one that's going to do a lot of your favorite places in if we don't continue to support them. It's not just, you know, it's not just the new restaurant on the block that never got established. It's going to be your favorite restaurant that your family's been going to for, you know, generations that goes this time if we're not careful. So I think what we're talking about is making sure that throughout the holiday season, we could talk a lot about how the government could do things different or how the state could do, you know, things different. But really, this is the season to act as an individual to help through your habits and your spending to support local business and small business. And when we talk about small business, it's not just business. We're talking about freedom. really. The freedom to choose your own career path in your own way by being an owner of a small business. The freedom of choice that you have for a variety of different jobs as somebody who wants to go work for a small business versus always just having to choose between the government and a large corporation. Which large organization's cubicle do you want to sit in today? So choice of where we shop, choice of where we work, and, you know, the financial freedom that we have. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And the heart and soul of our small communities and the bulwark of our middle class. And so I think a lot of the things we can do to support small business right now is just remember to shop small business and think about small business. Think small first this season, right? Think about small. And you can shop there in person or shop by phone. You know, another thing a lot of people can do is try to make an effort to shop at the locally owned websites, their actual website themselves, versus buying the product through Amazon or fulfillment by Amazon. That helps them a lot. Amazon takes about anywhere from 15 to 30% of every product. If you shop off their website, you're saving them a lot of money. So it's much more valuable to the business if you go to their own website versus a big marketplace like eBay or Amazon or Walmart's website. If you buy directly from their website, that helps them a lot financially.
Okay.
A lot more ends up in their pocket, for example. Yeah. And then, you know, order takeout if your restaurant's not open. See if they'll do takeout. You know, try to patronize them that way. Share and remind people and your friends on social media to support small business. I think that's very effective when people share the business they're in and ask their friends to share what businesses they own, because a lot of people don't even know how many of their friends own small businesses, et cetera. I think that's very valuable. And if you're, you know, I'm just going down a list of things we can do as individuals. And I guess, you know, if you work in a larger business, if you're involved in purchasing decisions, make sure that you continue to allocate a portion of your purchasing towards small and veteran-owned businesses, et cetera. That's a big impact. And if you own property or own loans or service loans, you know, being forgiving and continuing to offer some forbearance on those loans to the extent possible, you know, that's a very big deal right now, especially for restaurants. And, you know, so really, you know, I guess the last thing is if you know people who own businesses, ask how you can help. You know, what would help them? You know, what could you do to help that business, promote that business, et cetera? So a little bit of things like going and picking up takeout from a restaurant twice between now and the end of the year because it's your favorite restaurant. If you do that and their other patrons did that, might be enough to keep them in business through this. Mm-hmm. It might just be what saved the business. So think about that. So we have the power to help. We just have to get out of our daily routine that these large organizations have put us in through marketing and advertising, and remember to support the small business.
It's so interesting that you mentioned small business. I was talking with a young guy, probably younger than millennial, maybe millennial, and probably somewhat is not real active politically. But yesterday he said, this is an assault on the middle class of what is happening. He said what should have happened during the lockdown is that they should have actually limited access to the big box stores and supported small business. But you look at these policies across the country, and primarily in many of these blue states with these blue governors, these policies are making it so difficult on our small businesses. It's an assault on the middle class, Hal.
Yeah, and it's not an accident. I mean, at certain levels, it's not an accident. This is COVID-19 in the U.S. has already created the largest transfer of wealth in human history from through these government acts that we just had. You know, we're taxed by all of that. That tax all lies on us. The money went all to wealthy corporations. You know, and a lot of that went to wealthy corporations and the banking, and to, you know, prop up the banking industry.
Big banks.
Yes, the big banks. And in addition to that, we've been talking offline. You know, there's a couple of major independent hotels in Denver that have either closed their doors or have gone into delinquency on their major notes on their mortgage. And if those hotels don't survive, who's going to buy those hotels? It's not going to be you and me. It's going to be the big guys. And who owns those big guys? It's the major banks and the major pension funds and et cetera. And so it's a massive concentration of wealth from independent business and small business owners and small investors to the mega corporations, the mega banks and government. And so it's overwhelming, you know, the impact of this. And you know, big government likes big business, and big business likes big government because they can lobby the top. Mm-hmm. They can lobby straight to the top and get things done the way they want it. And so it's a cozy little relationship for the oligarchs. But that's not healthy for the rest of us at all. If we want to have freedom of choice, freedom of career choice, freedom of shopping alternatives, and a chance to move up your class in society from, you know, entry, you know, from working class to middle class to upper class, you need to have vehicles other than working for a major corporation your entire life. That's not going to get you there. And this is all being assaulted right now, you know, either on purpose or by circumstance, but we need to focus on this to preserve it.
Well, that is for sure. And that is the inherent thing about the American idea is the middle class, the creativity and innovation. Hal Van Herke, we have just a minute left. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I think that you know, as we go into the holiday season, we just talked about small business. You know, take care of small business, but also just don't forget to take care of your family and your friends. The holiday seasons are about, it's not about materialism. It's about relationships, and it's about taking some time to be thankful for what you have. It's about taking time to celebrate the good things in your life, to reach out to the people you care about and spend time with them, even if it's over the phone or on instant messaging or whatever, and remind people that you're thinking about them.
Hal Van Herke, thank you so much for your partnership with The Kim Munson Show.
Thank you.
And be sure and check out castlegate.com for more information and to get that very special Christmas gift. And our quote for today is Walt Disney. And this, again, makes me think of you. It's kind of fun to do the impossible. So, my friends, today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, God bless America, and Merry Christmas. Riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new